Now, from Hollywood, romance. Romance. Transcribed stories of love and adventure, of comedy and crisis, of conflict and human emotion. Today, the story of an architect, a girl, and a scholar, as written by one of radio's most delightful authors, Walter Brown Newman, in Point of View.
Had I known when I first saw him what I know now, I'd never have wakened him. I'd have let him go on sleeping on that bench at the airport forever.
United Airlines Flight 23, now loading at ramp G.
Mr. Trask?
United Airlines Flight 23,
Mr. Trask, wake up.
Now loading at ramp G.
Wake up, Mr. Trask.
What did you say?
Wake up, Mr. Trask. Are you all right?
Fine. Fine. Who are you?
Charles Brown, of course.
Oh, of course, Charles Brown. Pleased to meet you. How did you know it was me?
I.
What?
How did you know it was I who said me?
Did I really?
I learned your identity by reading this tag attached to your lapel. I am Edward Trask, the architect engaged by Charles Brown. If not called for in 30 days, please return to Goldberg and Trask, 527 West.
Oh, yes, I remember tying it on. I want coffee.
There's a shop next to the baggage room.
Let's go.
Now arriving at gate 6.
Do you generally make yourself known to clients in this fashion?
Only when I travel by air. Sleeping pills knock me out, you see, but I have to have them or I'd scream from takeoff to landing. I'm afraid of airplanes, aren't you?
Certainly not.
Well, you would be if you were a coward. I'm a coward.
Telephone call.
So is my partner. Matter of fact, we tossed to see who'd make the flight, and he was the coward that lost.
Then how is it you're here?
Goldberg very cleverly broke his leg.
Oh, dear.
Must we walk so fast?
Quickly.
What?
One doesn't walk fast, one walks quickly.
Why, at this moment, one would be happier crawling, so if you don't mind...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to rush.
You're not rushing. It's just that you're a big guy and I'm a little guy. My legs aren't as long as yours. You're probably in condition, too.
I am indeed. Here we are, after you, Mr. Trask.
Oh, boy. Coffee. Smell it? I'm going to drink a couple of gallons of... Hold everything.
What's wrong?
My glasses have steamed up. Lend me a clean handkerchief, will you?
Here. Well, we might as well sit right here at the counter anyway.
Good morning. May I help you?
Coffee.
Yogurt.
How would you like your coffee?
Very much. Here's your handkerchief.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Where were we?
I was about to say that I think it a mistake for a man to get out of condition when he leaves school.
I was out of condition before I ever got to school.
I don't do much boxing or football anymore, of course. But I am out for a run with a dog every morning. Do you own a dog?
The only animal I'd ever care to have for a pet is the sloth. It hangs upside down from the branch of a tree, you know, and remains motionless for days. Nothing stirring but its basal metabolism.
You're not serious, of course.
Coffee. Bless you, little missy.
Cream, sir?
No, thanks.
The club at which I put you up has an excellent gymnasium. Got facilities for weightlifting, boxing, fencing.
Please. Not while I'm eating.
I found it difficult to believe Mr. Trask was one of the finest architects in the country. His mind seemed so undisciplined and his manner so lax. He dawdled so over coffee, I was afraid we'd be late meeting Eliza. But we weren't. When we got to the hill, there was no sign of her. While we waited, he continued to ask me about all sorts, the most trivial matters.
If Millard Fillmore were alive today, would you vote for him for president?
I haven't given the matter much thought, huh?
Never mind. Has anyone ever tried to convert you to the Druid religion?
The Druid? Are you serious? Oh, you mean the oak tree and fire worshippers? Well, hardly. What time have you got?
I don't own a watch. I don't even own a calendar, come to think of it. Are you fond of bagpipe music?
No, I don't think so. This watch of mine is never more than a second off a day. It's 10:05. Eliza's late.
Remember what W.C. Fields used to say about being late?
No, I can't say I do.
Or Crazy Cat? You remember that comic strip, don't you? Crazy Cat and Officer Pup and Ignatz the Mouse.
I'm afraid not. I'm positive I told her to be here at 10. Oh, well, I imagine she'll have an adequate excuse. What do you think of the view from this hill?
Nice. Conventional, but nice.
Conventional?
Yes, if...
Oh, excuse me. Here's Eliza. Now, you're late.
I'm sorry, Charles. I overslept. Please forgive me.
Well, it's quite all right. Eliza, may I introduce Mr. Trask? Mr. Trask, my fiancée, Miss Day.
How do you do?
Hello. You remind me of a girl I used to know, a cooch dancer in a carnival show. Is Dane your real name?
You're not serious, are you?
This girl later married a sword swallower. The ceremony was performed before a crowd of 3,000 morbidly curious people. Bridegroom and preacher all stood in the mouth of an embalmed whale.
Was it done for publicity?
Well, yes. You see, the manager of this tent...
Does it matter, Eliza?
No, I suppose not.
Mr. Trask thinks the view from here is quite good, but conventional. We're rather fond of it ourselves.
Well, that's the school down there, isn't
it? Yes, that's the school. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's one of the oldest private schools in the country. It was founded in 1703.
1702, Eliza.
Sorry.
Yes, an ancestor of mine was on the first board of governors. The men in my family, when young, attended this school. Everyone before going to Yale. That's why I think it's so fitting to have the house built here, overlooking it.
And it's so convenient for both Charles and the students. It's only a 4-minute walk from here to school. That makes it so simple for Charles to go to work and for the students to come to tea.
So although you may be disappointed in it, I find it highly satisfactory.
Oh, I wasn't going to suggest any big changes. A few beds of Venus flytrap over here.
Well, you will learn what sort of people we are and what our tastes are like before long. That's the general idea behind your stay with us, isn't it?
Yes, I prefer to know something about my clients before I design their homes. It gives greater satisfaction to me as well as to the client.
So I can understand that. I approve. It's very sound. It pays.
Well, I don't do it just because of the money. Although, show me a man who's fonder of this stuff. I love a home I build as much as a parent loves his kid. I want it to be right. I want the people who live in it to be comfortable and easy with it. I don't want them to perform major surgery on it after I've turned it over to them. I don't suppose any relatives of yours ever got trampled to death by a panicky zebra, Miss Dane.
What? Well, no. But a grandfather of mine shot a lion in India and brought the skin
lions
back.
Lions are not found in India, Eliza, but in Africa. And could we continue this discussion some other time? I have an 11 o'clock class. I found the next few days to be trying, extremely trying. It was Mr. Trask, of course. He fairly haunted Eliza and me. We lunched together, dined together, walked together, drove together, spent evenings together, and in short, did all the things people can do together without creating a scandal. Worst of all, his fund of silly questions and pointless remarks seemed inexhaustible.
Grandmother of mine introduced the red cabbage to Saginaw, Michigan. You probably know people who've had their hands read by fortune tellers, but did you ever know anyone who had his feet read? I think Shakespeare gave Caliban a terrible deal in The Tempest. It was his family's island in the first place, wasn't it? I'd be interested to hear your views concerning the practice of putting sugar on oysters.
He almost made me lose my temper.
Well, was that after you left me last night?
Yes, he insisted that I walk him to the club. Then he walked me home. Then he made me walk him home again.
What time could you have gotten to sleep? It was almost 1 when you left me.
It was past 1, 11 past. I mentioned it rather pointedly, don't you remember?
Oh, yes.
How much longer do you suppose he'll remain?
Well, it can't be too much longer now. He's learned a great deal about us during the past 4 days, and he can't possibly have
much... 5 days, Eliza, not 4. He arrived here on Friday.
At any rate, I'm certain he won't be here much longer.
Well, if I didn't know, absolutely know, that his firm is considered to be one of the best, I'd have chucked the whole project long ago. I never thought I'd be subjected to all this simply to acquire a dwelling. As a matter of fact, if he does go on like this much longer, I shall simply tell him I no longer desire his services. That's exactly what I'll do, yes. To my surprise, Mr. Trask failed to meet me for lunch the next day, nor did he appear for dinner. Eliza and I spent a restful evening alone. When I failed to hear from him by noon the following day, I called. The clerk at the desk assured me that Mr. Trask was in, but was not answering the phone. After school, therefore, I paid him a visit.
Go away! Go away! I have a loathsome disease! Unclean! Unclean!
Mr. Trask? Now it's I, Charles Brown.
Come in. I was going to phone you. Sit down if you can find space. This place is a mess, I know.
I don't remember ever having seen so much crumpled paper.
I've been working. I intended to phone you Thursday morning.
This is Thursday morning.
Really? What became of Wednesday? Never mind. This often happens when I'm working.
So you've begun to put down your ideas for us, have you?
Well, I thought I'd try to sketch a few things. All tentative, of course.
Mm-hmm. May I see them?
Well, no.
Ah, I understand. Natural reluctance to display unfinished work. But what style have you in mind for us? Georgian? Colonial? Tudor? Modern?
I'm embarrassed, Mr. Brown. I was going to write a long letter to you and Miss Dane because I intended to duck further meetings with you. I think I told you once that I'm a coward.
What? What do you mean?
I'm not going to design a home for you and Miss Dane, Mr. Brown. I'm leaving.
Why?
Don't think I haven't tried. I've been working now without sleep since I last saw you, but I haven't managed to create anything for you.
Why? I think I'm entitled to an explanation.
I'll write one and mail it to you.
Now, Mr. Trask...
I'd really rather not tell you.
I insist.
All right, then. Don't be angry or upset now, because I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
I'm waiting for your explanation, Mr. Trask.
Here it is, then. I haven't created a design for a home for you and Miss Dane because I don't think you two will be married.
What?
To each other, that is.
Mr. Trask!
Well, anyway, now you know.
Eliza and I not marry each other? The idea is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
I told you I could be wrong. But when I sit down to draft, and the pencil either doodles or makes no lines at all, there has to be a reason, and that's the only reason I can arrive at. I know I've upset you.
Upset me? You don't think for one moment I'm affected in the least by what you are. You not at all.
Attaboy. As I've said, I could be wrong.
Mm. Has your pencil ever failed to deliver before?
A couple, three times, maybe four or five.
And you were wrong then?
Nope. Bullseye every time.
I see. May I ask what it is about Miss Dane and me that has brought you to this fantastic conclusion?
I don't think I know myself.
Oh, now, come.
Well, that's the truth. I'm a very sensitive man, Mr. Brown. I register impressions, almost like a film does when you snap a picture. I don't know whether or not you were aware of it, but I ask you and Miss Dane a lot of questions.
Aware of it?
Well, that's the way I work. I ask a lot of provocative questions. At least I hope they're provocative. And I make a lot of provocative statements. You see, like most of my clients, you and Miss Dane are complete strangers to me, and I don't have much time to get to know you, so I have to draw you out. You understand?
A little.
Like I ask, do you know any druids? I'm hoping that'll launch you on a flood of words that'll tell me something about your religious feelings.
See?
Or I ask, do you remember the comic strip known as Crazy Cat, say? Well, that could lead you to tell me your views about art and so on.
And when you asked about Millard Fillmore, you were probing for my political views. And all that talk about Venus flytraps was to sound out my views on flowers and gardens and decorations.
Well, sure, that was the idea. Well, I don't add and subtract all these impressions and come up with an answer. I just let them churn around inside me together, unaided, so to speak. And then I sense what sort of a home to come up with. I came up with nothing for Miss Dane and you, so I'm leaving. The deal's off.
But, what am I to tell Eliza?
Why, the truth, of course.
No, I couldn't.
You couldn't tell your fiancé the truth? It's very interesting. That sort of bears out my impression that you two won't get married, or if you do, it won't last.
Well, of course I can tell Eliza the truth.
So tell her.
But I'd rather not tell her this particular truth. Now, why should I upset her when you yourself say you might be wrong? Now, may I tell you where I think the trouble lies?
Well, sure.
Well, I think that you've received a false impression because you don't know us well enough. You haven't spent enough time with us.
I had a feeling your nerves were scraped raw because I spent too much time with
you. Oh, no.
You sure?
No.
I haven't irritated
you? Oh, no, not at all. I've enjoyed your company. Stay a bit longer, won't you?
Well, I really don't think it'll do any good, Mr. Brown. I have a very strong feeling that you and Miss Dane will soon break your engagement, but if it'll make you any happier...
Good, good, then it's settled. You'll stay. To have an artist, an architect, a sensitive person, although a stranger, cast doubt upon one's relationship with one's fiancée, makes one take a closer look at that relationship. Deftly, guardedly, subtly, but thoroughly, I questioned Eliza concerning her feelings about me and our approaching marriage. Beautiful night, isn't it?
Yes.
It's good we see eye to eye in these matters. But then we agree about almost everything, don't we?
What? Oh, yes.
Yes. Except possibly long engagements. Oh, I know that I was the one who felt we should wait to be married until our home was ready. I've come round more to the opposite view. I think we ought to be married sooner than that, eh? You agree? Eliza?
I'm sorry. What was it you said?
I said I think we ought to be married sooner than we originally planned. What do you say? Eliza... A penny for your thoughts, Eliza.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charles.
Well, what were you thinking about?
I don't know. The oddest things. Panicky zebras and crazy cat and Millard film. Oh! Charles! You almost drove off the road.
Sorry. I felt a stitch in my side.
In your side?
Near my heart. It was clear to me that whether Eliza was aware of it or not, Mr. Trask filled her thoughts. But I ask you, what was I to do? I was in a cleft stick. If I allowed him to leave, I would have to tell her why. So I urged him to stay a few days longer. He grumbled a bit, and there was a great deal of telephoning and telegraphing to his home office, but he obliged me. And then... I'm coming! I'm coming! Who is it? One more. Coming! Mr. Trask.
I had to show you.
What? 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 It's 3:30 in the morning, Mr. Trask.
Is it? Put on more lights. That's better. Here.
Well, what is it?
Have a look.
What is it?
I was restless. I couldn't sleep. What can it be, I asked myself. The dinner Eliza cooked for
me. You had dinner with Eliza?
Anyway, I got out of bed and tried to read. Next thing I know, my sketch pad's on my knee and my pencil's in my hand and I'm designing a home. The ideas pour out faster than I can put them down. Here, have a look at a dream house.
It was a dream house. It was more than a sketch he showed me. It was a lyric poem to married life, an offering to the gods of the hearth and home, a song of connubial bliss, the deepest feelings of family made articulate and glorious and comfortable. It's perfect.
Yes, it is.
May I have it?
Oh, sure. It's in my head.
Thank you.
That's okay.
So, your impression was wrong.
I guess so. And yet...
Yes?
Nah, I guess it was wrong. And yet...
Yeah?
Nah, nothing. Good night.
I could hardly wait to show the sketch to Eliza. I phoned her from the faculty room at her usual breakfast time, but she wasn't at home. I phoned all day, every hour on the hour, but she never answered. Alarmed, rather anxious, I went to her home directly after the last class. As I approached her front door, I saw her going up the steps. Eliza.
Hello, Charles.
Where have you been? I tried to get you all day.
I've been out walking.
All day?
Since early morning. I've had a bit of thinking to do.
Well, I was worried. Oh, but never mind that. Here. Take a look at this.
A drawing?
By Mr. Trask. A dream house, he calls it.
Oh, Charles.
Yeah, I agree. It is, isn't it?
Oh.
I can see us in every line of it, can't you?
I can see me. But I can't see you, Charles.
What was that?
I said, I can see me in this house, but not you. That's what's had me walking all day. Charles, I'm returning your ring. Here, take it.
But I don't want it. I want you to have it.
Don't you like it?
Oh, it's not the ring, Charles. As you well know, the ring is beautiful. But I've no right to wear it anymore. I don't love you.
Eliza.
I'm sorry, Charles, but there it is. I wept when I first realized it. Shed tears at the thought of hurting you, but...
Eliza, now, is there someone else?
Yes. Mr. Trask.
Trask! He's gone behind my back, has he?
Of course not. Mm. He was quite surprised this morning when I told him how I felt.
He has gone behind my back. You had dinner alone with him last night.
All I can say is, evil to him who evil thinks. Ani soir que mal pense.
Ani soir que mal y pense.
Goodbye, Charles. Perhaps one day we shall be friends.
I walked 4 hours through the city, trying to understand it. All right, she'd returned my ring and broken our engagement. Very well, I accepted the situation. I didn't understand it, but I accepted it. What I could neither accept nor understand, however, was her choice of Ed Trask. Why had she chosen him? He lacked my breeding. He was weak where I was strong, short where I was tall. He lacked direction. He was badly tailored. He was poorly groomed. He had absolutely nothing in common with Eliza. And yet she chose him. Now, why? What did she see in him? I entered a bar, and I sat down in a booth and ordered a drink. And here, the long arm of coincidence reached out.
Sorry to be late, Ed.
Well, doesn't matter, love.
It doesn't?
No. You're here now, that's enough.
It is?
What would you like, Eliza? How about a sherry? Or a Pernod?
It occurred to me that I'd never observed them alone together. Perhaps if I listened, I would learn what she saw in the man. I listened.
After dinner tomorrow, I thought perhaps we might go to a show. That new one by George C. Kaufman.
George S. Kaufman.
Or is it Mothart?
What's the difference? We'll see it anyway.
I'm really awful about names and dates. I never can remember exactly.
All right. You're not in a memory contest.
That's right, I'm not. I'm not, am I?
No.
I don't have to be right about everything, do I? Or always be on time, do I?
Not if it's a strain. Relax, love. Prompt or not, accurate or otherwise, you have my heart, if that matters.
Oh, it does. It does. It does.
They went on in that vein for almost an hour, and then they left. I listened carefully to every word, but at the end I was no wiser. Now, what does she see in him?
Romance is produced and directed by William Frug. Point of View was written by Walter Brown Newman and featured Whitfield Connor, Vic Perrin, Virginia Gregg, and Joan Young. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. This is Dan Coverley inviting you to hear Romance, transcribed next week at this same time. In just a moment, another story explodes on Gunsmoke. As you follow United States Marshal Matt Dillon through today's fast-moving drama, you'll discover how many actions can be triggered by the relationship between a cattle owner and his son. Stay tuned now for Gunsmoke, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.